The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This call is being recorded.
Ryan, you don't know about ASMR?
No.
I don't know what it stands for, but it's like people who get... It's not a sexual thing per se, but
it's... Oh, it's absolutely sexual.
For some people... Fine. Yes. So it's people that are very pleased by just like very, very specific noises and very,
it's like hair standing up on the back of your neck kind of shit.
Yeah. So like they'll
bubble wrap being crinkled.
Bubble wrap being crinkled, like the brushes of a hair comb being like stripped.
Oh.
So okay. Like, so there's a whole set of YouTube videos out there where people like have these big professional mics and they're just like doing specific audio things into the mic and people just listen to them and get enjoyment out of it.
All right. Well, now I have something to Google all day tomorrow.
Just put on a pair of headphones, kick back, and it's spring break with a little ASMR, baby.
Please don't let any of this make the podcast.
And welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, PrideofDetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. I really need to sneeze. Oh my God. I am Christopher Fett, the adequate host at Christopher Fett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. If I'm slurring or unable to talk, my throat is full of phlegm. I'm not able to think. And this is my hell. This is what I get for going out, being social, and going to museums with a lot of people and just coming down with probably the plague. Not gonna lie, it is probably death.
Did you go to a historic museum? Maybe that's where you got it.
No, it was literally called the Underground Museum.
Oh.
And there were a lot of people there. It was good, very good photography, but I'm sick. I'm probably sick from it. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online. Just being the ray of sunshine as always, the wind beneath my wings or whatever. This is not a good place to be, and I'm trying not to be gross in front of the microphone.
I'll be whatever weather phenomenon you need me to be.
Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan_POD, fresh and sweaty back from a hockey game.
Yep, a hard-fought 3-1 win in the playoffs. My body is feeling it. My back is feeling it.
But nothing like playoff hockey, right?
Nothing like playoff hockey. It's like doing drugs and riding a motorcycle out of a helicopter.
Okay. I was trying to think of a transition there from that to the Dolphins wanting Matthew Stafford, but I really can't think of anything right now.
I think it kind of writes itself.
Does it?
Yeah.
Did the Dolphins actually want Matthew Stafford? I was really unclear about this. People were doing their all hoity-toity yelling, so I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, I mean, there was a whole bunch of mixed reports. The first Miami Herald had it, and then Free Press said like they heard about it, but Bob Quinn said it never happened. And then I think MLive threw in there saying, nah, it never happened. So I think the best way to describe what probably happened between Matthew Stafford and the Dolphins was like maybe at the combine, Joe Philbin or whoever was their coach at the time. I don't even remember. Who was their coach last year? Wasn't Joe Philbin. I'm thinking
Gase,
4 years.
Wasn't it?
Adam Gase. Yeah.
Adam Gase. Yeah. So Adam Gase probably just like turned to Bob Quinn and be like, hey, Matthew Stafford available. Bob Quinn probably said, nope, and that was it.
I mean, Bob Quinn would never lie to us.
No, but he was Matthew. If you thought Matthew Stafford was untradeable this offseason, he was even more untradeable last offseason. Like, there was no financial reason to do it at all, and it was never going to happen. And I mean, obviously, you're right. There is motive for Bob Quinn to say, like, no, of course that never happened. Why would I say that about our current franchise quarterback? Why would I confirm that's true? But at the same time, like, even the Miami Herald report said, you know, there was nothing here. Like, it never got to a point where they were even talking about compensation or anything.
I just brought this up because I would like people for a brief, fleeting moment to embrace the death drive like I am right now with my cold and imagine Ryan Tannehill as your starting quarterback.
Jesus. God, I hope it wasn't going to be a player for player trade like that had it like, ever gone down.
I don't like that. That's been one of the things vexing me about the NFL for a long time is that there are still people out there who say Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. The only position I really know in football is about quarterbacks. And let me tell you, Ryan Tannehill is garbage.
He's no Brock Osweiler, that's for sure.
And he keeps assault rifles in the back of his car or whatever it was.
What? I don't remember that story.
Yeah, his wife got pulled over. He had like AR-15s in the back of their car or something. I don't know.
Fun.
Yeah.
Do we want to go over what we're talking about on this week's really podcast? Gross.
Yeah, yeah. So we're doing a 3-round mock draft here coming up. Those are always in vogue. People like those. We're doing those. This is a way to get Jeremy to do some draft coverage. We're doing draft coverage. We're talking the draft.
We're turning the POD cast into a war room. We're going to argue with each other. Someone's going to yell Brian Calhoun in the back of the room.
You can't fight in here.
That's all we do is fight.
This is a war room. You can't fight in here.
I have my bat. My bat is in my it's in the corner of my room. I don't know if I'll go get it up for the segment because this is not a visual medium.
I've got.
Can you take the bat and hit it against your hands during the segment?
That's great radio.
I mean, that's great ASMR.
Okay. Wink. Okay.
Oh my god.
But before we get to that, what are we talking about?
Thank you, Jeremy, for trying to keep me on float before I just smash my forehead open against my wooden desk right now. Let's talk about some, we got some news. So I forgot like half of it already. All I just have written here in large, big, uppercase words and a shaky handwriting, new rules.
Yeah.
So the NFL... Don't listen. I may be five sheets to the wind, but do not mention that man's name. So the NFL has decided in their infinite wisdom to allow pass interference calls to be reviewable. It reviewable on a coach's challenge, and I think some within the last few minutes of a game.
Yeah. Yep.
And the obvious concern I have, Jeremy, is that this is the death of football. And I say that with no measure whatsoever of extreme overreaction. Like, this is hell. This is absolute hell. And all technology just should be banished from football. I've gotten Luddite on football now.
I'm leaning that direction too. And I'm also well aware that we've all hyperventilated about rules before and it's turned out to not be a big deal. Like the leading with the helmet stuff last year was something that I think a lot of people panicked about. And then we didn't see much of it called during the season. But this to me is a different bag of, you know, can of worms that we've opened.
Coaches be dicks.
Yes. And the key here is also, it's not just you can challenge a pass interference call. You can challenge a non-pass interference call. So if they don't call pass interference and you think there's pass interference, you can now challenge it, which obviously was sparked by the NFC Championship game. And I just, there's nothing about this rule that I like. I don't like that, you know, such a subjective rule is now going to be subjected to a extremely slow motion replay. And like, you can make anything look like pass interference to me if you get the right angle and if you get the right playback speed. And it's just such a gray area call. And I agree that it's a very hard call to make live. And so theoretically speaking, it would make sense. Like, oh, if it's so hard to make that call live, why don't we subject it to replay? Maybe that'll improve the calls. But to me, the black and white pass interference, they just don't happen that often. They don't have, like what we saw in the NFC Championship game, that doesn't happen very often. And to me, opening it so that any play can now be challenged for pass interference means a lot more challenges are going to use. I brought up this point on Twitter, and a lot of people are like, well, they still only have two challenges. But I did the research, and it's hard to find challenging stats. But in 2017, there was less than 0.5 challenges averaged per game. So 0.5 out of four in a game, two for each team. So there's plenty of room for more challenge flags to be thrown in a game. And I think we're going to see it because pass interference is such a big penalty. You know, it can be up to 40 yards. It's almost worth it on every single bomb you throw to just throw the challenge flag to see if there's maybe a little bit of pass interference that you get 40 yards out of it. Why wouldn't you? I just hate it. I hate this rule so much. I could go another 20 minutes ranting about it, but I'm going to let someone else talk for a little bit.
This is so stupid. This is beyond stupid. And I know this is always comes up because like every time I've argued this with someone else who's like, you know, if I go on the radio in Toledo or something, they're like, well, what if this kind of thing happened against your Detroit Lions? And I'm like, you know what? I have to stand by principle. I have to suck it up because like these kind of, because I know Lions fans, flagellate themselves all the time. You see where I would have gotten messed up on those three words, right? Like, please just give that to me while I'm sick.
Yep.
They flagellate themselves all the time over this idea that the Lions are the ones persecuted by bad calls. But I think we've said this before, and I know Lions fans is a bitter pill to swallow. You ain't special. You ain't special. This happens to everyone. You just get some egregious ones. And let me tell y'all, nothing was more laughable than watching people get Lions fans, other Lions fans than me, getting mad at certain media, sports media groups calling it, talking about the Dez Bryant catch instead of the Calvin Johnson catch. Like, way to make yourselves look really small, but also to prove that this happens to other teams too. But that's all for my point, is that this is stupid. This is, as Jeremy said, it's beyond subjective. It's open for abuse because all NFL coaches, including your beloved Lions coach, are assholes, and a lot of them are bigger assholes than others, including your current Lions coach, and they will absolutely just abuse this thing because this is not something that is in the power of the referees to call or not call like that past rule. It's in the hands of the coaches now. And yeah, you could you know, shoot them down, and probably that's what's going to happen, is that we're going to see this get abused in the preseason a lot, and eventually I think coaches will realize that while they can throw that flag, it's probably going to get shot down like 99% of the time. Yep. It has to be. If you're a referee and you see someone throw that flag, you've got to shoot them down, or else this whole thing goes to hell. Like, I know football thinks that it is invincible, but the more you stop play, like already right now, ask anyone who's not a football fan trying to get them into football, the thing they hate the most, and they will tell you. Every time, 99% of the time, they will tell you they hate the stops in the play. They hate this, how many times football, the game, grinds to a halt and there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. There's not people even lining up. It's reviews and commercials and huddles and all this crap. They hate how much there is not actually football in a football broadcast. And this will just add so much more. If it is allowed to be out of control, it will get out of control. It will get out of control, and we will be lucky to live through it. I cannot do my Fred Thompson right now. Oh my God, my throat is burning. This is insane.
Get in there.
Yes. My hot takes over as I am melting down. Ryan, I was going to lead this to a question for you, but I have none.
Okay. Well, I think my big takeaway from this is, it seems like the wrong fix. And by that, I mean, I think it would have been just much simpler to kind of adopt the pass interference that they have in college football. Like, why does it need to be a spot foul?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the spot fouls are insane too. Like, and everyone's like, oh, but did you just, you'd intentionally PI or something? It's like, that's fine then. Whatever. I don't care.
I'd be much more inclined to make it reviewable if it was a 15-yard cap on it. And that's a whole nother debate. And I almost got into that again on Twitter, but I'm sick of it. It's annoying. But I kind of want to go back to a point Chris made, in that what's probably going to happen is it's only going to be extremely obvious situations in which these are going to be reversed. If not, then we're going to be in the scenario that I brought up where everyone is just challenging every deep ball because, hey, you might get 40 yards out of it. But to me, either result is bad because if it's, you know, they're only doing it in the very rare cases, we're still going to get a bunch of challenges. We're still going to see an increase in challenges because, like I said, the reward of getting a correct challenge is so right. Or we get a bunch of overturns, which is even a worse scenario to me. If all these challenges are like, oh yeah, you know what? If we slow this down, it does look like he kind of grabbed his arm a little bit. Let's give him those 40 yards. That's a hellscape. That's a scenario in which I don't want, in which teams are getting 40 yard flags
penalties. Yeah.
Once or twice a game overturned because, you know, just tiny little hand fighting that would have gone ignored rightfully, I think,
also
with regular game speed.
Also, if you're the officiating league, if you're the officiating union, like you've got to protest this to hell in my mind, at least, because this is just going to put more of a target on the back of referees in that, like, the fans are going to see these things slowed down, which had all these plays that happen in the course of football where things are on this massively grayscale. They're going to see these things slowed down and they're just going to get mad at the referees if they don't call it one way or another. It just paints even more of a target on their back.
Yep.
Like,
well, I brought up the Pettigrew thing, Cowboys Lions 2014 pass interference picked up, whatever. If that were to be under the new rule, I don't think that gets overturned. I think they pick up the flag. They talk it over. They pick up the flag to say it's not pass interference. It gets challenged.
If the flag gets picked up though? Like that's, I mean, yeah. You could because non-call. Yeah. Yeah.
What really happened that game is like, they forgot they announced the penalty when they shouldn't, because aside from that, it was a pretty normal pickup of the flag. Like they discussed it and they said, you know, it wasn't a penalty. Then the Lions would have challenged it. And to me, I watched it like 30 times last week because I'm interested. I don't know if that crosses the line of being, you know, because there's no rule. Like there's no specific black and white rule that says this is pass interference, this is not pass interference. You can't create a rule that's black and white when it's such a subjective thing. It's not like stepping out of bounds or having 2 feet down or anything like that. It's subjective to say how much contact prevents someone from making a catch, because contact's allowed as long as you don't prevent a catch. If you aren't, and what is that line? I don't know. No one knows. And we're going to start asking ourselves, what does that mean? And we're not ever going to really get a clear answer.
All I'm saying is, like, some broadcasts in football, maybe not in the NFL, and the Super Bowl was very much so a very quick game, but it was also a very boring game, if we're being honest. I know people, this is where the defense bots are going to come out and talk about it was good defense. It was, for a lot of, like, casual fans, it's boring. And guess what? If you want the NFL to be a number one on top in this country, to be, like, the top sport in the top league and the top sport in the United States, you have to cater to the casuals, too. That's what a lot of this stuff has been about. And eventually, these kind of rule changes, this turns off a lot of the casuals. Because again, of what I talked about the idea that these slow these games down. Football games, I mean, we just saw baseball flagellate itself for 10 years about the idea of pace of play. When I think in that case, baseball had the wrong idea. The problem with baseball isn't pace of play. There's a lot of other problems with baseball. That it's not about pace of play. It's not that their games are slow unless you're watching like a Yankees Red Sox game, where in that case, yeah, that's slow because those pitchers are idiots and they take 2 minutes to throw a single pitch. But in the case of football is getting slow. Football is absolutely getting slow because of all these breaks I mentioned. Maybe more so, you can already see it in some of the college ranks. And I'm because more college teams are throwing more often, the clock is stopping a lot more because completions aren't being made. And like I've seen some 4-hour games. And what I'm telling you is that if we have to start keep slowing this down I don't think it adds too much time, but it's going to add, if we have to stop play for someone to keep going back and forth with the instant review booth, it's going to add at least 5 to 10 minutes once you start adding in like, you know, back and forth and probably a commercial break or whatever, and depending on how many are called, like, and that's not good. I'm sorry, it's not. Ryan, I guess the only thing to remain then is it the Calvin Johnson rule or is it the Dez Bryant rule? I'm going to be a shit about this.
It's the whatever you want to call it rule.
Cool. Jeremy, do we have any other news? We're almost, we got like 2 minutes left, but
maybe quick hitters. We deserve to give TJ Lang a quick send off, seeing as he officially retired. Well, jeez. Okay.
You said quick.
Well, quick, but not dismissive like that.
No, that is quick. It's just bye. It's not being dismissive. Yeah, he's retiring. TJ Lang is retiring. He's officially announced it, I think Friday, I believe. Yep. Friday, he announced his retirement, as people are wont to do now on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So he's done, and I guess he will not be going to the free agency market.
No, but I mean, I think we can all agree this was probably the right move for him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the last couple of years have been rough in terms of concussions, knee injuries, hip injuries, just about every injury under the tree. I don't know. How's that phrase go? Whatever. But I mean, the moment you saw him down in that Cowboys game when he took on a huge concussion and just didn't look like he had his laurels about him. And I think that moment was just like, ooh, this might be the beginning of the end. And, you know, we wish him well. I think he's going to want to stick around in some capacity, not as a coach. He kind of made it clear he doesn't really want to be a coach. He doesn't want to burn the midnight oil like some coaches do. He wants to spend time with his family and stuff like that. But the way he talked at the end of last season, it's clear he's not quite done with football. So I would expect him to be around in some sort of capacity, whether it's, you know, teaching youth or being, you know, like the Lions ambassador, like Barry Sanders is. It's clear he also loves the franchise. So it's nice to have someone leave the team or you know, get cut from the team on good terms overall. And I just hope for the best for him because he was a great personality, pretty damn good player too. Yeah, I guess that's my verbal send off to him.
Ryan?
Luke Wilson signed with the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about this. Yep, that betrayals Luke Wilson. I don't think he was coming back with the Lions anyway, but he is now a Raider.
I was kind of shocked that he signed somewhere before like Toy Lolo signed somewhere. I guess potential will always garner you a market to some extent, and I guess maybe, you know, people see something, people around the league see something more in Luke Wilson, but I mean, you know what you're getting with Toy Lolo, and I mean, he's an effective blocker. I'd be surprised if he wasn't on a team by the time camp started.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Toy Lolo thing's fascinating to me because, again, like, I think he was the more skilled tight end last year. Do we still expect him to probably come back with the Lions or what?
No, I think it was, I want to say Kyle Meinke, you put it out there. He's like, I have a better chance of re-signing with the Lions than Toy Lolo. So he clearly knows something. I knew that the chances of Luke Wilson returning were next to zero based on things that I've heard too. So I don't know. Raiders, enjoy Nevin Lawson, enjoy Luke Wilson. Good luck with that.
Taking odds on where Toy Lolo will end up. Probably the Bills, the Dolphins. I don't know. Let's take a break. Let's do that mock draft. We've been teasing it a little bit. Let's do mock draft. Let's do mock draft. The animals are pounding the table. Mock draft. Mock draft. We've all got forks and steak knives in our hands. Mock draft. Mock draft. We will be right back on the Pride of Detroit PODcast.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pride of Detroit, mock draft, mock draft, mock draft. PrideofDetroit.com, mock draft, mock draft. Arr, we must have a mock draft. We must fuel this. We must feed this tree of football with more mock drafts, with more draft talk. Mock all the drafts. Everything must be, it must be fed with the blood of mocking. Mocular blood. As this fever progressive, as this fever progresses, I might just honestly collapse here. If you hear just a dull thud, that is my head hitting this counter, this desk. I called it a counter and I don't know why. As I said, mock draft, mock draft, mock draft. We're doing a mock draft. This is not an April Fool's joke. We are doing a mock draft. However, as I am near death, I think I will let Jeremy take the wheel on this one a little bit. Jeremy, you've got the software up. Where are we going? Where is this? You're mixing the Kool-Aid here.
So. Yes. So we are doing the Draft Network's very popular mock draft machine that they unleashed this year. We're just going to go to the first three rounds, and the way we'll do it is we're representing the Lions. I'll read to you, at least in the first round, the first seven picks. We're not going to do any trades or anything like that. And then I'll throw out some names. We'll kind of talk about it and we'll make our three picks. Any questions, fellow GMs?
Mock Brian draft. Calhoun.
wait. Have to wait till the third round for that.
Sorry.
All right.
Okay.
So if you guys want to do this sort of stuff at home, it's the draftnetwork.com/mocks-draft-machine. We are using their predictive board. And yeah, you guys ready for me to hit start?
Let's do it.
All right.
No, but go ahead anyway.
All right. Picks are being made and the Lions are on the clock. Number one, the Arizona Cardinals take Kyler Murray. The San Francisco 49ers take DK Metcalf.
Okay.
That's an interesting one. Quinnen Williams goes to the Jets. Nick Bosa to the Raiders. Josh Allen does not make it to the Lions, goes 5 to the Bucks. Juwan Taylor to the Giants and Rashawn Gary to the Edge. So we have three edge guys already off the board in Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Rashawn Gary, Quinnen Williams, another defensive lineman off the board. Everyone else is on offense. So let's look at who's available. Ed Oliver is available. He just killed a pro day. His name has kind of been shooting up. Montez Sweat is available. Dwayne Haskins.
Wait, his name's Sweat?
Yes, his name is Sweat.
Sweat. Like, that's got to be, he's got to have a kid eventually named Gravel. just a name that is made for these jarhead coaches.
There's one Brian Burns. Said yet. There it
Brian
is.
Burns. Yep, Brian Burns is still available. If we want to go tight end, Hockenson is obviously still there. So is Fant. No corners are off the board yet. So any cornerback that you desire is still on the board. Ryan, why don't you lead off this conversation? What are we doing?
I feel like I'm taking your hand and you have the writing utensil in your hand and I'm forcing you to write Brian Burns' name on the card. And then I will run it to whoever needs to take it to make the pick. I think if the Lions find themselves in a situation where Burns is there at 8, like, it's not worth moving back. I think that he's one of the top available talents. I mean, if the Lions have a chance to either get Josh Allen or Brian Burns, like, they're in great shape. And I truly think that with teams still maybe possibly wanting to move up and grab a quarterback, I think that there's a scenario that plays out in which one of those two guys is available for the Lions. And I think that just needs to be the pick number one with a bullet.
All right. Jeremy, you said Hockenson is off the board.
No, tight ends are still there. Hockenson
is still there. Okay. Yep. Well, this makes it hard for me because I am all about Ed Oliver. I am about the shiny thing sitting in front of me right now. I also think coming out of Houston, he's a little underrated and now everyone's jumping up because I love watching Draft Twitter do this where the guys who they've fallen in love with are suddenly getting clout and they're screaming about how they're the ones who found him first. I think for most people in college football, people have known Ed Oliver for a while. He's yep. great. He's a monster. I think we've talked about this before when it comes to the Detroit Lions. Like they're going to rely and need to rely on a pretty solid nose tackle coming up here to really make this defense work. And I mean, I was all about edge rushers until we got Trey Flowers. And now I am finally, very quietly very leniently able to lean out here and start looking at some other ideas.
Yeah. So. Well, Ed Oliver was the case that I was going to make too. And yeah. I'm not one of these guys that are like, hey, undersized defensive tackle, and we're thinking about taking a tight end. This is, you know, 2014 all over again. This is Eric Ebron all over again, and we're passing on the next Aaron Donald.
Yeah, hey, how did Eric Ebron do in 2018, by the way?
Regardless, this is. I'm not saying Ed Oliver is, you've made me lose my train of thought. Aaron is not Aaron Donald. Ed Oliver is not Aaron Donald. Let me make that clear. But
let me be clear.
As Chris mentioned, edge, not quite as big of a need. I think the line still needs some talent that can pass rush from the interior. Ed Oliver can pass rush. And I think for whatever reason, Ed Oliver's stock crashed during the 2018 season. And I don't think it should have. I mean, we were talking about play dead for Ed in November, and then suddenly he was a mid-round pick. I think part of it is that he didn't run at the combine. Now that he did his pro day, he saw that if he had run in the combine, I think he would have been talked about as a top five pick throughout the last month or two. And seeing him here available at eight, I think is more than enough value. I don't think he's going to make it to eight. So if I'm putting in a vote, I'm taking Ed Oliver personally.
I am not against Ed Oliver. I think the reason why there were concerns, Jeremy, I think the other thing that you did mention too is, you know, how he clashed with the coaching staff at Houston over his last season. And I mean, that's not really a real red flag to me because, I mean, this was a guy who, like you said, after the Lions, after week one against the Jets, I was on Twitter and I was like, play dead for Ed, whatever, let's do it, you know? So, I mean, there really is no reason for why this guy and his stock kind of like, you know, kind of like bottomed out a little bit. I mean, he was always kind of hanging around like the top 10, 15 range, like especially after the season ended. But this pro day is kind of, it's kind of worked like the DK Metcalf magic on him, right?
Yeah, but, a little bit.
Yeah, but I think just Ed Oliver has like better tape than even DK Metcalf has. So, I've been persuaded. I'm fine with it. Ed Oliver.
Sorry, Alex Reno. We're putting Brian Burns on the back burner. Maybe on the back burns or. All right.
Doing my Alex impression.
I'm drafting Ed Oliver. It's happening. Turning in the card.
Do, 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 do. All right. Do, do, do,
do. Ed Oliver is a Lion. All right.
Well, this is Lions football.
A little bit. So you guys want to talk amongst yourself? Or I can read Montez Sweat. It's gone. TJ Hockenson goes to the Bengals. Noah Fant goes to the Packers.
Let's not have
Packers.
This. I'm. All right. Talking amongst ourselves. Talking. So, I mean. I'm kind of fascinated watching how Rashawn Gary, I know everyone kind of wanted him, but is that just a Michigan effect, you think, Ryan?
Maybe to an extent. I think at the same time, people are kind of turned off by the idea that he doesn't really have the positional versatility that I think the league kind of demands. I mean, when he went to Michigan, like it seemed like one of his caveats was that he wanted to strictly be an edge rusher, but I mean, he has this body to like play like a three tech, and to be like a really like disruptive three tech at that. But like, I don't know, just it's gonna be a question of whether or not he wants to do it. But you know, got some injuries too. I don't know why people have. I mean, I get why people have cooled off on Rashawn Gary.
All right, Lions back on the clock. Unfortunately for Lions fans, I think a lot of people think this is a sweet spot for a cornerback. There's kind of been a run on cornerbacks. Greedy's gone. Byron Murphy is gone. DeAndre Baker is gone. Amani Oruwariye is gone. Justin Lane out of Michigan State is gone. Sean Bunting is still there. The Michigan guy, Long, is, I believe, still there. Let me just make sure. Yep, David Long is still there. Julian Love is still there. Lonnie Johnson is still there if we want to go cornerback. Wide receiver is also pretty stacked at the moment in terms of available guys. Marquise Brown is still there. Deebo Samuel is still there. Andy Isabella is still there.
Deebo Samuel. There's a name that, like, I don't know. You're going to have to talk me into somebody else. But, like, with him on the board, the only other guy that I'd be interested to know is Chris Lindstrom still on the board?
Let me take a look. That's a good point, because the Lions, obviously interior offensive line is a big need, and I don't believe he's there. Let me double check. Nope. Lidstrom went 41. Two picks. Lions are at 43. Chris Lidstrom went at 41, unfortunately.
Curses. Okay. I don't know. I think maybe, see, this is an interesting spot, because I think in the second round now, like, if you're not going to get like one of those like tight ends, like if Font doesn't fall for whatever reason and Hockenson doesn't, and I don't foresee either of those guys making it all the way to the Lions' second pick.
No.
Maybe you just kind of wait, I think, on a tight end. Like, I think that the value might not be there in the second round.
Irv Smith Jr. is available. I believe he's third.
Yeah, I was looking at Irv, but I see, like, you know, I was looking through the rankings and some other stuff too. And I know, and maybe I'm a soft spot for it, but I know Elise Mack from Notre Dame is pretty damn good. And I think you could probably get him in the third round. So I'm probably turning my attention to corner, maybe safety in the second round. But I'm going to be honest, I kind of blanked at a lot of what was available. So,
I mean, I haven't watched a ton of cornerbacks, but I have watched David Long, and I do like David Long's film quite a bit. He's very,
Julian Love on the board.
Julian Love is still on the board as well.
Okay.
The Draft Network has him as the 52nd overall ranked prospect. David Long is 79th. So there's a chance David Long is going to be there, but in the third, I should say. But I'm also a big Deebo Samuel fan, and I have to say I'm kind of leaning in that direction. Blake Cashman, Alex Reno's a big fan, a linebacker, is still available. There was one other position I was going to look at.
I just realized I just declared that I would take two guys from Notre Dame.
You absolutely did.
Yeah, I Domer.
Hell yeah. Screw off. The Trojan. What am I doing?
Blake Cashman, I think Blake Cashman would be a solid pick here too. I mean, maybe a little bit rich at this point in the draft, but
yeah, it might be a little early.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Like,
do we want to do Deebo? I think that's, I feel like that's the closest we have to consensus right now.
You don't have to talk me into Deebo Samuel. Fantastic name. 100% probably a lock to make it into like the final four.
Now, the interesting thing about this draft so far is it hasn't really addressed the most pressing needs. I mean, interior defensive linemen and wide receiver aren't high on this team's list of needs, but at the same time, like, they don't absolutely need a cornerback this year. They have a guy that's starting in the slot and probably at CB2.
Yeah, they have Rashawn Melvin. Yeah. They have a Band-Aid that they can put on that.
The one thing that they don't have a real Band-Aid, I would say, is right guard, right? But the board just didn't really fall the way that we were hoping in terms of interior offensive linemen available now. We're talking Elgin Jenkins, Drew Samia, Ben Powers, Connor McGovern.
Real quick, we should probably move on to the third round. We've got a couple minutes left. So,
all right.
I mean,
we're taking
Deebo. You're taking
Deebo
in the second.
Deebo
I'm still
Samuel.
With my Elise Mack pick for the third round. Just
let's see if he's available.
Like, I mean, Irv Smith would be great too. I just don't think he's going to last to the third round. I do think you do need to pick up a tight end though in the first two days.
Ideally, I'm interested in what the Lions are planning with Jesse James. I feel like he's going to essentially be. I know a lot of people don't think it. I think he's essentially going to be tight end one though.
That's true. Yeah. But I mean, I think ideally you'd like kind of a young guy as well too, but I mean, it's whatever. Yeah. There's definitely places you could open up. What position would you say? Like, so we've got wide receiver. We can put aside corner, even though I was looking at a few, like what else we can think of? Like maybe safety.
I think right now
safety class though, if I was
on the clock right now, I would be targeting an interior offensive lineman, a cornerback, or a tight end. Those would be my top three.
Okay.
That seem reasonable for everyone else in the draft?
Yeah, that seems fine.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. What do we got at tight end?
Oh, David Long went 87 to the Bears. I'm so mad. Lions are up 88. Rough. All right. Andy Isabella is also still on the board, which makes me think we made a mistake at getting a wide receiver in round two, but whatever.
Nope. Deebo's the man.
Okay, let's look at the cornerbacks available. We have Isaiah Johnson out of Houston. We could double up on Houston, guys. Joquan Williams out of Vanderbilt.
Shuma Edoga is in this draft. I'm going to be a USC guy now to make up for the last two rounds.
What about Rakia Sin?
Rakia Sin went in late first or early second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went 39 to the Bucks. Man, that's not a great setup.
This is where it starts to really break down, because I love doing these things, but I feel like once you get into the third round, the field is so open and wild, like who the hell knows?
Yeah.
This is where I think a lot of the draft nicks start to really their love affairs start to separate themselves from actual scouts.
For sure.
And actual war rooms in the NFL as well. So
because this is when we hear a lot of, oh boy, I think that was a reach from people.
Yep. On day two, who the hell is this guy or something? Right. Like, yeah.
All right.
Day two, definitely. Yeah.
So Ben Powers is the top interior offensive lineman. Connor McGovern out of Penn State is still there. Nate Davis out of Charlotte.
Interior, my bad.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. The Wisconsin guy that isn't the other Wisconsin guy. Those are your interior offensive linemen. Corners. I already said corners, didn't I? Let's look at tight ends. Tight ends.
Well, let's pick something quick. We're over time, so.
All right. Well, what position are we targeting here? We got
Brian Calhoun. Third round. Okay.
This guy plays both interior and exterior, and I think he'd be interesting then as a third round pick. Elton Jenkins out of, let me make sure I'm getting this right. Is it Mississippi or Mississippi State? I don't want to mix that up. Mississippi State. Yeah.
He is gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. He went 50 to the Vikings, who obviously need some offensive line help. I'm kind of leaning. We gotta go get a starting right guard. I'm sorry, we have to do it.
Just Ben Powers seems like he's built for like a zone scheme.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that's what the Lions are trying to do. What's available at tight end?
Tight end was Cale Waring out of San Diego State. Very athletic guy.
Like that. Like
Elise Mack, the Notre Dame guy, is available. Foster Moreau at LSU kind of had a disappointing senior week, but also kind of a two-way tight end. I'm leaning Ben Schwazel out of Wisconsin, and I'm sorry to everyone who's yelling at me at mispronouncing his name.
That's usually my job. I think that's a good place to stop it, though. We're way overdue. We should move on to the mailbag. And everyone's complaining that I cut these things off, but I'm trying to keep these podcasts down to a proper size. Do we have a definitive answer for our third?
I took Ben Schwile. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Again, I'm in my own hands. Listen, I'm at Jesus take the wheel moment here, or baseball, Jesus take the baseball bat or whatever. Like, I don't know where to go by the third round. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
All right, so our final three picks, Ed Oliver with the 8th overall pick, Debo Samuel in the second round at 43, and Ben Schwal out of Wisconsin as our interior offensive lineman.
I know you got some good names here, but Ed Oliver is a sleeper name. Like, just say it a few times on your tongue. Ed Oliver. It's pleasing.
You did your bet, Jeremy.
We did it together, though. Don't put it all on me, because we're going to get a bunch of angry comments now.
Oh, no. I was talking about your name pronunciations.
Oh.
You're doing your best.
Oh, thank you.
All right, let's move on to the mailbag before I completely collapse. My head might actually hit this desk.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mail time.
The mail's here.
hears the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail time. Hashtag ask POD, as always, to get your questions in. I can't really do my proper voice. I am completely dying right now. So I'm going to find some questions. I'm going to field them, and then I'm just going to mute my mic so I can just cough and just be just absolutely just disgusting. Do we have any comments here before we jump into the mailbag while I am sifting through questions?
You should feel better. That helps.
Really, that I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate Critical Perspective asking us a fight for my sports fan soul: Michigan or Michigan State? Not from Michigan, so I'm willing to be persuaded either way. Well, as we so happen, we have a Wolverine and a Spartan in the room. I am a neutral arbiter. And Michigan State just won a basketball game. So I feel like I should just put Jeremy and Ryan in here, like putting two fighting fish together in a small bowl and just see what happens.
Ryan, would you like to go first or second?
I'll go first. I'm sorry that your basketball team picked the worst night to miss shots.
Thank you.
I'm going to be very cordial about this. Okay. I mean, legitimately speaking, like Texas Tech, I mean, good basketball team. However, I don't think they're better than Michigan. Michigan did a lot of like very uncharacteristic things for a John Beilein team. Like, they don't typically turn the ball over. They don't typically look like they're, you know, panicked or, you know, frightened, or I don't know. They were just kind of like, they kind of like worked themselves into like a frenzy at some points where they were doing a lot of very uncharacteristic things of John Beilein teams. And then to top that all off, they literally couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat that night.
True. I'm going to take a different route with this one. If you're trying to debate whether to become a Michigan or Michigan State fan, and I'm assuming you're a football fan, given that you're listening to a Lions podcast, you're seeking out Lions fans' opinion here. My question to you would be, are you looking for a similar experience to the Lions in your college fandom or different? Because if you're looking to, if you like kind of being the underdog, you like being the guys that always complain they're not getting enough attention, but you know, there's always a hope that they'll eventually reach the peak. Michigan State's probably your team. I think it's fair. I think I'm being fair representing the fan base. They like to complain that they don't quite get the attention that Michigan gets. And sometimes it is undeserved. They should be getting more attention, but they also have not really reached the summit ever. Fair?
I've seen some Michigan fans taking that tone too, that they're not being respected well, but that's more of like,
that's ridiculous.
That's more of a, whoa, we're in the Big Ten and complete and get owned by right. Ohio State every year. Kind of we're being not looked at.
Now, if you're sick of the heartache, and I'm not saying there won't be heartache in Michigan, because there certainly
there's a lot of heartache
in the past 15 years. But if you want to be a fan and not be happy with a 9-3 season because expectations are that high, give Michigan fandom a try.
Can we talk about how much you flagellated yourself and even wrote a fan post when Michigan State won on the blocked punt in the Michigan State game?
Can we talk about how you've used the word flagellate three times this podcast?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it a lot. It's one of my favorite words. I'm never going to let you forget that fan post either.
I don't regret it.
You feel ashamed? I was about to ask,
no,
if you feel
not
ashamed
at all. That was the most ridiculous way to lose a football game I've ever seen outside of the kick six.
As long as you said outside of the kick six there, like that's my one quibble with Michigan State fans. They say that game was like the greatest ending to a football game. No. It's still the kick six. Iron Bowl, baby.
I would argue that the Michigan State game was a more rare ending. Not necessarily more exciting because everyone wanted to see Alabama.
To critical perspective, you're the answer is Toledo.
The answer is never Toledo.
Go Rockets.
Unless the question is, what city should you move out of?
Well, I mean, Keith R. asking us, who is performing the Thanksgiving Day halftime show? So this is where we have to, I think, almost pat ourselves on the back, but also cry blood about the news that Toto will not be playing the halftime show at Thanksgiving.
Whoa, let's not
Lions
jump the
are
gun
shooting
here.
It down. The Lions are shooting no, saying right no. now.
He go ahead. Justin Rogers asked Rod Wood, you know, have you contacted Toto? And Rod Wood basically said, well, it's not really just up to us. It's up to the NFL. We have some bands that they have approval of and ones in the back pocket. And then, you know, it all sounded really bad for Toto. And then Justin finished the question with a follow-up saying, so that's no for Toto? And he said, I didn't say that.
That's just Rod Wood being coy. I will say that my favorite thing out of this whole episode about Toto is that both Free Press and M Live has acknowledged that we were the ones who started this whole nonsense.
Yep.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, they both called us quote unquote good people.
Nope. It was the good folks over
good
at
folks,
Pride of
good
Trace.
Folks. Folks is different from people. That's yep. correct. We were called good folks. You yes. can leave your hate mail over there. We are good folks.
Yeah, but there's a couple of petitions I saw floating around. If petitions are your thing, go search for one.
You people are beautiful for starting those petitions. I hate petitions, but you're beautiful for them. Beautiful, beautiful people. I'm dying here.
You want me to jump in and take some?
No. I'm looking at this question. I'm not sure how to process it. From the cobbler at New Zealand Lion, would you rather have to eat a complete jar of mayonnaise every day or sweat mayonnaise for the rest of your life?
Oh, brother. No. The answer to this is easy. I'd rather eat a jar full of mayonnaise.
Yeah. Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, who doesn't like mayonnaise?
Give me the sweat mayonnaise all day.
I won't have any friends.
All your clothes is going to get covered in that. You can't go working.
Tank tops for the rest of my life, baby.
More than just tank tops, man. What if it like your crotch is going to get sweaty? You're going to have mayo crotch?
Oh, come on. This show is PG-13.
Is it? Is it really?
Not today, it isn't.
I would not be able, like, I would throw up every day if I had to eat a jar of mayonnaise every day.
You'd get used to it.
No. Japanese mayonnaise is really good.
Here's the thing. Like, I can for sure 100% say, I'll get used to it, like, eating mayonnaise every day for, like, the rest of my life. You know what one thing I could not get used to?
Mayo crotch?
Sweating mayonnaise.
Cleaning all your clothes that is covered in mayonnaise sweat.
Can you imagine, like, it comes out to, like, how would it come out of your armpits? Like, imagine, like, those squirt bottles that have, like, the really finely points and, like, the mayonnaise comes out in those little, like, curly cues.
Move to Alaska. Don't sweat. Perfect. Beat the system.
Yeah, but then you're trying to warm yourself up and you warm yourself up a little too much. And guess what? Suddenly it's a flood of mayo all over again.
You imagine like mayo from your wiping.
Listen,
mayo
I'm
going to
turn
brow.
Into. I will gladly turn into the guy from regular, ordinary Swedish mealtime who just takes the giant jar of mayonnaise, takes a spoonful of it, puts it in his mouth, and says, "It's good for you."
Okay, all right. I'm slowly moving over to sweating mayonnaise.
Okay, Aaron Bullock. If you were in a diet for several months and got a cheat day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert, what is your fantasy menu?
Ooh.
I'll just say this right off the board. I just want to make sure, you guys, it's not going to look like The Rock's cheat meal. That's for sure.
All right. I'm ready to take on this one. Breakfast, okay. We're going stuffed French toast with strawberries on top. With obviously some bacon thrown in there as well. Lunch, we're going lobster bisque soup. Keep it light because we're going to have a big, big old dinner that's 100% surf and turf. Give me a nice big steak, medium rare. Give me some lobster. Yeah, we're doubling up on lobster. Deal with it. And then dessert. Cheesecake bites from Del Taco. Yep. We're going surf and turf to Del Taco. Deal with it.
I've got mine lined up. All right. Breakfast. I want a grande sausage breakfast burrito from Jack in the Box. That's my cheat there. Huh? For lunch, I'm probably going to get probably the biggest okonomiyaki you can put together. Because that stuff is really good.
No idea what that is, but it sounds delicious.
It's look it up. Okonomiyaki. It's a Japanese kind of like pancake of not quite a pancake. It's a pancake. It's a pancake. It's just covered with just so many good things though, and a lot of mayo. And then for dinner, I'm probably this is the hard one because I could go so many different ways. Probably getting myself some good fried chicken though, like a really big. I mean, this sounds Nashville? Boring.
Hot chicken?
Yeah. Why not some hot chicken? Why not for the cheat meal also ruin my intestines?
Yeah.
Why not? And then for dessert, probably a big old baked Alaska. Hmm. The actual dessert, not the neo-Nazi from YouTube.
Okay. All right. You know what? You guys both had really good answers. I'm going to run through mine real quick. Breakfast, I'm going to eat a bowl of cereal.
What cereal? Okay. Come on. You got to be more specific than that.
Enviro Kids Panda Puffs. I'm just on a kick right now, guys. Leave it alone. And the other thing I do with it, too, when I'm feeling real saucy, is I'll do a spoonful of peanut butter while I eat it. And it kind of works like a magnet.
So what you're saying right now is you're already living your best life right now for breakfast.
Yeah, for sure. So then I move on to the lunch, and the lunch is going to be something nice and simple. And I like the soup idea, Jeremy, but I think chicken lemon rice soup is really underrated. So mm-hmm. I like me some chicken lemon rice soup. And then for dinner, I'm going to go chicken and waffles.
Okay.
And my dessert is a bowl of Enviro Kids Panda Puff cereal.
Jesus Christ, man.
Bookend your day with... Are you sponsored by them?
I want to sweat Panda Puffs.
Instead of mayo, sweat Panda Puffs? Okay. That would be painful, I think.
but good. But good.
Big old pores.
All right, I'm going to try not to just completely kill myself here as I try to answer these last few questions, because there's quite a few. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Duke at Luke Mac 11. What is the better food, Italian or Mexican?
Uh-oh. We're about to get in a fight.
Sicilian DNA activated.
Hold on a second. Like, which country in Mexico are you talking about?
Yeah, are we talking like Oaxaca? Or are we talking Sonora?
One of the three Mexican countries.
Oh, the joke. Oh, right. The Fox News thing. Yeah, I forgot about that. Got the reference, though. Just took me a minute. I'm playing in a handicap here.
It's gotta be
Italian.
No.
Okay, let's hear your stump for Mexican first, and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Tacos.
Tacos are fine, but that is a very small thing. It is very plain. And you know what? We have something kind of like a taco in Italy. It is called a piadini. It is delicious. I'm probably saying it wrong. And listen, there's different cuisine between North and South. I mean, there's different Mexican cuisine as well all across the board. But if you're just looking for something to just really comfort you there, to just really get you warm, there's so many different ways to go between anything that might be like on the cheese side, like cacio e pepe, which can be simple, or a Roman style pizza. Like, and I think for Americans, a lot of our thinking of Italian cuisine is absolutely kind of tinted, because most of what we see as Italian cuisine is Italian American, which is fine. Don't get me wrong, it's fine. But it also means that a lot of traditional Italian cuisine we are actually fairly foreign to.
Well, I mean, that's the same with every foreign, like the Chinese food. Mexican food, anything.
Yeah. Like, how many people are eating tlayudas when they go out for Mexican? They're not. I did.
They're eating Crunchwraps. Not to hate on Crunchwraps. Crunchwraps are delicious.
But I'm just saying, like, I mean, but that's the thing, too. Like, you can't go wrong with the Italian-American either, though. Like, a big plate of bolognese.
You a big Olive Garden fan over there?
No, shut up.
Ragu in your spaghetti.
What's your? Oh, great, Ryan. Break the stalemate here.
Okay, I'm gonna break the stalemate. Ready? It's Italian.
Oh, come on!
Yes,
I'm gonna tell you why though. While there are a lot of Mexican dishes that are fun to pronounce, there is an Italian dish that's called gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
That is a really deep cut. That is an incredibly deep cut. I don't know how we are going to beat that. That is an incredible, like, I'm reeling. You cut me to the bone.
All right. Well, and to the bone, I found some gnocchi.
I'm about to cut you to the bone.
Can we do a non-food question? I'm getting too mad right now.
Yeah. Here's to hopeful asking us. What, Ryan? What?
I just wanted to say I'm not going to pick sides. All food is good food.
I agree. Here's to hopeful asking us, as I am losing my voice, who has the better record this year, the Lions or the Browns? Also, who has the better season, Mayfield or Stafford?
Oh, this
Lord,
is tough.
What are you doing?
This is the toughest
mailbag. You're forcing us to answer questions we don't want to answer.
Look inside your heart. Search your soul. You know this to be true.
I'll say right now, I think the Browns are going to go 8-8.
And win the division.
It's a really bad division.
Maybe. I mean, I think the only team that can really challenge them would be Baltimore. Oh, man. So then now I'm asking myself, can the Lions do better than 8-8? And my gut instinct is no.
No, I think the Browns have the better record. It's going to be a tough crack, but I honestly
can't imagine seeing them do better than 9-7. I really can't.
Just out of
is reflex. That even acceptable? If even 9-7, is that even acceptable for the Lions at this point?
9-7.
I would say yes, but they're still going to be angry fans, and rightfully so. I mean, I'm saying acceptable in the sense that it's not going to get Matt Patricia fired. But
yeah,
I'm with all of you. I think the Browns are going to have a better record next year. I think they're going to win the division. I think they could be as good as 11-5, which I feel like that clip is going to be cut out and shown to me in December and slapped across my face. But listen, I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan. I'm sorry. Everyone loves him stunting on coaches and being an asshole to everybody. I'm not a fan of it. I'm an old person that's waving my fist at him like he's a cloud. Matthew Stafford's going to have a much better season than Baker Mayfield, who's going to come crashing down to earth in his second year.
Oh, you Stafford slappy.
I'm going with big dick swinging Baker Mayfield.
Alrighty then. I'm still thumping for Lamar Jackson. Go Ravens.
Yeah, that's a good one. At Nick Tomfoolery, is it weird for me to sort of want Detroit to be on Hard Knocks?
No,
not at all.
We all agreed on something.
I mean, I kind of want them to be on it too. Like, I know Bob Quinn is worried about competitive advantage, and maybe there's some truth to it. But selfishly, I want to get to know some of these players off the field because I mean, I see them there and I see them in the locker room, but they act differently in front of the media than they do in person. And it's a very cool personal way to kind of get to know these guys and see things that we don't see, you know, even media who are there in the locker rooms, interesting stuff that we can see.
Can you really call yourself a competent coach if you let a television show derail your season? I'm sorry. Like that's my argument against everyone who says, like, every time they're like, oh, it's a distraction to the locker room. Oh, it'll give away our secrets. Like, you're not a competent coach if you're letting a measly little television show ruin your season. I am hard and strong on this. Like, give us the entertainment. As Jeremy says, I want to see the guys. I want to get to know the Lions. Like, stop telling us that your top secret NSA secrets are going to be out there.
I'd rather them be on All or Nothing.
That'd be dope too.
Mm.
Never going to happen, but
no, yeah. I think that would be less likely than Hard Knocks, just because it seems like Hard Knocks just gets to force their way into what they want.
Yep.
I have a lot of other questions here, but honestly, I'm about to die. So,
all right. So, like, one more.
Yeah. Let me. If someone else, or is anyone else looking at the questions right now? Do you want to take one so I can hack up all this phlegm in my throat?
I'm looking up recipes for chicken lemon rice soup.
All right. How about this one from Mike GM?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
He asked, do you actually see Josh Allen still available at number 8? And I think this is an interesting question because a lot of the guys that we mentioned in our mock draft simulator, Allen fell to 5 in the one that we did. But, you know, guys like Ed Oliver, guys like Montez Sweat that were there when the Lions were picking, those are guys that are kind of picking up a lot of steam. Devin White is a guy we didn't even talk about, Devin White or Devin Bush. Both of them were available in this scenario, but I think a lot of people think they might be gone. So I think it's certainly a possibility that Josh Allen is there at 8. I don't think it happens, but I think the Lions should be prepared. I think they should absolutely do their homework on a guy like Josh Allen in case he does drop there.
Yeah. And I mean, another name too, Brian Burns. And then I think the other thing too is, like, we're not even taking into account whether or not, you know, there'll be some movement at the top of the draft if there's anybody who wants to, you know, move up and grab a quarterback, or Dwayne Haskins, or even, you know, what if somebody just gets enamored with DK Metcalf?
Mm-hmm. I mean, he went second in ours. He went second to the Niners, which is crazy.
Right, which is, just
totally. But, I mean, people fall in love with skill position players all the time, so I don't think that's completely out of question, and I think DK Metcalf is probably the most likely guy that someone falls in love with. But I think it's a possibility, not a likely possibility, but I'd put it at like 20% if I had to throw a percentage out there.
Yeah, I would say possible, not probable.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm leaking.
Just, end the podcast.
Is it mayonnaise? Right there. Is it mayonnaise?
Okay, all right. No. I guess we can keep going.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Brian Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd. IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.